Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey guys, welcome back to Upfront. It's Chloe here.
And Rachel.
We're back in the studio for another interview, and this is a woman we've been excited about chatting to for a while now. Queenie Porter has a unique position in the WSL as both the Managing Director of Well Hydrate, a sports drink which has partnered with Manchester United, and, if that wasn't enough, Vice President of West Ham Women. She understands both sides of the WSL's commercial growth and its challenges. But Queenie thinks that the women's game will one day generate more money than the men's game. Woo! All day for
things
that.
Things you love to hear.
All day. So today we're going to dig into that a little bit more and really understand the commercial landscape of women's football right now with one of the people who knows it best. Queenie also has some interesting thoughts about fans' matchday experience and, of course, Nuko. So stay tuned, listeners. This is going to be a fascinating conversation. Queenie, thank you so much for joining us. It was really lovely just in the sort of lead up to getting on air. Queenie said, what are the protocols for this interview? And Rachel kindly reminded her that she wasn't to look at me in the direction of me when she's responding to her answers. But
no,
you know,
eye contact.
We keep it really informal here, really low key vibe. So yeah, feel free to use this space, you know, open up, be yourself, that kind of thing.
So I'm called Queenie, but I need to treat you like the queen.
Yes, essentially. It's okay. A bit of a role reversal,
done,
if you will, today. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate you're incredibly busy wearing multiple hats across the women's game. First off, how are you doing? How are you finding studio life so far?
Really good, thank you. And, you know, it's sunny outside. I feel like spring's coming. Really exciting things happening in the game and commercially, just in kind of the drinks industry. So yeah, I'm really good, thank you. Thank you for having me. What an intro.
Oh, I mean, mate, you deserve it. Absolutely. So let's get stuck in then. Your career history is incredibly long, varied and interesting and incredibly impressive. You became vice president at West Ham Women back in January. So can you tell us a little bit about how the first 3 months have been? Do you sleep? Do you get a chance to eat at all?
Do you know what? I've actually been part of, I reckon, the most exciting 3 months, because Dagny obviously had her documentary come out.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a big commercial partner of that as well, Hydrate, but then also behind the scenes about the kind of the making of that documentary. And nice to see, you know, girls being documented and being put at the forefront. People want to know what's going on off the pitch as well. And so I was really excited to be part of that, because that's something that I'm a real advocate of. And the reason I wanted to take up the VP role is I really wanted to get behind what was going on with the girls in training,
mm-hmm.
what was going on behind the matches, you know, how they're being looked after, what support do they need. I think there's lots of things that are going on in terms of women's health, fitness, ACL issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, what could I bring to say as a woman in business, but also being the MD of a health drink? So it's been really interesting just to kind of put the meats on the bones in terms of what the girls need off the pitch. That's kind of been the main kind of first 3 months, and it's absolutely flown by as well. I've completely flown by. And I'm really excited to see what kind of season two looks like for me at West Ham. So, yeah.
I've got to know, do you wear a half and half scarf with your Man United West Ham hats?
Oh my God. What a controversial question. I thought this was a controversial podcast. No, do you know what? I wear the hat depending on where I am.
Okay.
And I'm quite good at switching off the fan mode and the commercial mode, because I'm actually an Arsenal supporter.
Okay.
Oh. All right, this took a turn.
You said no controversy.
But more now the men's. And I think from the women's point of view, I'm a WSL Championship League supporter, if I'm honest, when it comes to women's football. Just an advocate of that. And I just can't wait to see how the game's going to grow.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I feel a bit like that. When you're in it for a while and you just kind of like a little affinities for different teams and players, and you enjoy journeys and kind of seeing clubs go through it, West Ham being one of them.
Mm. Yeah.
Enjoying that journey.
And they're all being trailblazers for different reasons. So collectively, I just think it's such a movement, and I'm so proud to be part of that. So I'm a women's football fan.
Love that.
Very nice.
I've got to make an admission myself, really. I mean, I'd say I'm a Man United fan, but will I go and turn up at the Emirates for £60,000? £60,000?
That's Chloe's fee. Yeah, that's the only reason she goes to Manchester.
Will I turn up there? Yes, I will, actually, for a £60,000 fee. For 60,000 crowd, like the vibe, the atmosphere, the steel pans, the drums and stuff, absolutely. Will I go and support Chelsea because I want them to win the league again? No, I won't do that. Uh-huh. I don't want that to happen this year.
Too far? You know me, though. I'm a bit like that as well, because people accuse me of being a Chelsea fan and an Arsenal fan and a Man City fan. And
well,
I kind of, all of them, love them all. Your background, though.
Yes.
Predominantly in fashion, but it seemed that you were always drawn to business side of football, right?
Yes.
So business and football are, of course, traditionally male-dominated spaces.
They are.
So how has it been to kind of navigate and excel as a woman?
Thank you. So, taking it back a little bit, so growing up, I loved football, loved watching it, loved being part of it. And then there was a team called Colchester Ladies that asked me to come and play for them, because I was a really good runner. And I started playing football from about 10 to 14. And then...
What position were you?
Midfielder.
Love nice. That.
All right.
Because I was
solid.
A good runner.
Okay.
Good runner.
Box to box.
Yes. And then at school, between like 10 and 12, the boys found it really cool that I played football.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I saw this little transition from like 12 to 14 where it became... not so cool. And a little bit, I was being a bit boxed off, and I kind of felt a little bit like it wasn't the cool, done thing to do for a girl. Different generation. And so I also loved fashion. So I thought, do you know what? I'm just going to go into fashion. I'm going to put the sport aside. And so I worked at Topshop head office for quite a number of years, went way up quite quickly. And I started to realise I was really missing that kind of sport element. Like, how can I still get involved in it? I was applying for like advisory board member roles. I had no experience. No one was getting back to me. So I thought, you know what? I'm probably going to have to park up that part of my life. Took a little career break for about 3 months and got headhunted by the co-op group to
okay.
be their head of buying for food and beverage. So mm-hmm. I thought, not fashion anymore, fashion to food. Let's just kind of see what happens. You know, still staying in the commercial role. And then the original founders of Wow Hydrate come and pitched the drink to me to come and get enlisted in the co-op group. And they ended up being from a similar area that I was. And they said, why don't you come and run the commercial department for us?
Okay.
You know, you speak so passionate about sport. You know the category so well. And we need someone to help us kind of grow the business. So that was back in, I want to say 2019. They were selling about 300,000 bottles. We're on directory now to do just shy of 20 million this year.
Wow.
Gone from like 3 staff to 20. Yeah. And, you know, now we're completely trying to take over the sports hydration. And so amongst that, I really wanted to develop my role of how could I get back into football without it being directly related to WOW, something that I could do that could help the game, but also WOW could be part of. And then the West Ham opportunity came up to be vice president. And then I was shocked that the girls had no official hydration partner, no solid sponsors other than Zoe. So I said, you know, what could it look like? How could it shape? And so now I have that double pronged role of being the vice president, so supporting them in an advisory basis, but then also being their hydration commercial partner. And I like to think we're one of the main kind of brands, being a trailblazer and just supporting the women's team within a kind of premiership environment. So, yeah.
Wow.
I don't even know where to start with that history, if I'm honest. Topshop to Co-op to Wow Hydrate to West Ham.
Yes.
That is quite a transition.
Isn't it?
Rest in peace, Topshop.
R.I.P.
Transferable skills, though.
Yeah.
Very transferable.
Absolutely. I mean, how have you found sort of the transition from those very different roles? I mean, I went from being a lawyer last year to an editor. Wow. I've definitely found it...
While being a footballer.
While being a footballer, retired now, very old and dusty. But I always felt there was a kind of sense of I'm going into a new industry. It's an industry that I'm sort of really learning, trying to get to grips with. I suppose you had a bit more of a sports background, but yeah. Was there ever that kind of, I don't know, sense of, you know, fear, I suppose, and vulnerability and sort of making those transitions? It's something I've definitely felt.
Definitely. And it's about not understanding, like everyone have commercial skills, as you spoke about, they're transferable, but not having like the years of knowledge of that, you know, narrowed category, so to speak, can be really daunting. Mm-hmm. But I always feel like if you love what you do, you're passionate and you really want it to succeed and you know, you really want the team around you to succeed as well, I think that you can just get stuck in. And I'm a real believer, you can't really achieve anything solo anyway, team player, all of that sort of thing. So I just really embedded on the colleagues around me, but there's definitely that imposter syndrome. It still happens now.
Mm-hmm.
When the VP position come up, I thought, oh my God, I can't believe, why do they want me? You know, Karen Brady spearheads that, you know, couldn't be a bigger trailblazer from a commercial business sense in female football. How the hell could I come on board with her there? Maybe I should go to another team and kind of learn it a little bit and then come over. But she's incredible and she's I think an inspiration to all, and should be an inspiration for me growing up as well. So really daunting, but I just try and, you know, steer upon my peers. I suppose you can get that from being, when you're a footballer,
mm-hmm.
and being in a team. I think when you know you've got them tough days, it's about how you can all pull together
and also jumping in at the deep end. I feel how important is the passion side of things, right? Because yes, those skills are transferable. And I get lots of people asking, like, how to get into women's football media and stuff. The passion is the key bit. You can learn the other stuff, right?
Absolutely. And if you don't have the passion, people know you're not authentic. It just comes through. I talk about authenticity all the time. I think my team probably get bored of me even saying the word. But it comes across. Like, see this podcast now. If you didn't love it, it would come across in your tone of voice. Mm. So the passion, I think, is the number one thing, because everything you can learn. You know, you can go back to books. You can Google anything these days. Everything's accessible to us. So the passion is the number one. And then when I interview anyone, I always scrape the traditional interview process. Come into the office for a day. Let me see if actually you want to take holiday from your current job and you're willing to put the effort in to come in.
Mm-hmm.
See how you fit in with the team. Let me see you. Let me see your passion come out and see what you're all about. I don't want someone to sit there for an hour and you sell yourself to me, because this is not authentic. Again, the A word. So the passion, you're so right. That is the number one thing.
That's such a great interview process. Me and Rachel would love to come down for a day.
Please.
And you can put us to our test, put us through our paces, all right? We don't want an easy day in the office, all right? We are very good tea and coffee drinkers, and
we're
makers.
Passionate.
We are very passionate about coffees and teas and women's football. So if there's a day that you want us to come down and do a life in a day of your shoes,
Put us through the ringer and tell us at the end whether you'd hire us.
Yeah. Why don't you come down maybe on a Tuesday? It's the day we have our weekly catch-up call with Man United commercial team. And we talk about the partnerships, what's coming up for the season.
100%.
Come and
join us, girls. We've got this podcast to do and stuff on Tuesday mornings. But other than that, we can take the train straight up there and we'll see where the office is based.
Loughton, Essex.
Right by me. Literally.
Chloe is there. If it's convenient, she is there.
A stone's throw away.
Might actually see your
flatmate. The invite is there. And there's a Costa across the road as well. So coffee on tap.
Sold.
Oh, we don't even have to make the coffees. Right, you said, obviously, like talking about the kind of passion that you have for women's football. And in February, you were kind of saying you think women's football will one day become bigger commercially than the men's game. Talk us through your sort of thought process in that, because we 100% are all for that.
I think the scope at the moment is a larger scope. I think that the men's game is what it is. And I think it's an amazing institution. And I think, how can we not think it is? And it's incredible. But it's extremely saturated. Like, how can you get seen? I'm talking from a brand perspective now. How can you get really seen in the men's game?
Mm-hmm.
And I think even the fan base just know that you throw money at it. And, you know, is it authentic? Do the players, you know, even drink it or use it or even, you know, utilise the brand? Or is it just because commercially they've got the money to do it? So I think that the women's game commercially has the scope for bigger opportunities amongst brands, because for you to do it, you've really got to want to put the work in, because you've really got to scope out what it looks like, because mm-hmm. there hasn't been really people that have done it before. There's not a textbook journey to follow. There's not a commercial plan where, you know, you get these rights, you do this, you do that, and we can show you it works. There's not loads of case studies. So you've got to want to put the extra effort in. So I think for brands, the scope's larger. Then because of that, going back to the passion side, you're going to be a passionate brand to want to do it from the start. So you're going to end up putting more money into it because naturally that's just what happens. You know, we're all emotional, we're human, we all end up thinking with our heart in the end. So I think commercially, 10 years, there's going to be more money in the game.
Okay.
I think as well, and maybe it's difficult, is that because of the rapid growth of the game, and we've talked about this in the pod a few times, our expectations and desire for things, we want things now, short term, and yep. we want things to happen quickly. But realistically, as a kind of, if it was a startup, 10 years is not a long time.
It's a baby. It's and, only a toddler.
Yeah, mm. and you still have that opportunity to shape how things look. I guess with the men's game, it's an awful lot harder to turn that ship, like to try yep. and make any sort of changes to something that's that big and developed. That must be quite an exciting, I guess, pitch commercially.
It's huge. And I like to think of the women's game as an investment. So if you're investing in a business, you wouldn't expect an ROI for, you know, a good few years. Mm-hmm. You'd expect, you know, it's the long game, isn't it? With men's game, from a commercial partner, you want ROI instantly because the magnitude of it is so large. And so I think it ends up becoming not a passionate thing to be part of because it's so commercially, financially driven. With the women's game, there's not that pressure there from a commercial partner where you expect to see all of a sudden see that it's generating this and that. It's more the fact you feel like you're part of a movement. And that's just so exciting from a VP point of view, from a, you know, a managing director of a brand point of view. Like, how amazing to be part of history.
And then I guess it gives it that authenticity because it's not exactly. just money driven. It's an investment, a long-term investment.
And you get the time with the women in the game as well. Like when you go down to the ground, it's a lot more intimate. Mm-hmm. You get to spend time with them and it's not so constrained that you can't do this to them, you can't do that with them. Like they want to know about your brand. They want to be part of it. So it's just, it's a more passionate journey to be on.
It was quite interesting because obviously we were both at the Man United International Women's Day Summit last week,
yes.
Which was absolutely amazing. And
incredible.
I had the absolute honour of coming into your brand partnerships talk, which is like a little seminar group. It was overlooking like Old Trafford. It was stunning day. And you were talking sort of really openly and honestly about, you know, the vulnerability that sometimes brand feels and brands feeling sort of stepping into this market, wanting to do it in the right way, but sometimes maybe not getting it right, getting that fan backlash, that kind of thing. But also this kind of, and I've not heard the term before, pinkwashing, is that yeah. brands sort of stepping into this space to think maybe that, you know, now that it's, you know, they've got all these big sort of names, the Mary Earpses, the Leah Williamsons and things, that actually they'll just stick these players on the front of, you know, whatever products they have, and it's going to sort of get that easy return on investment, the ROI. Yeah, sort of how do you make sure that, you know, brands, how do sort of clubs make sure, I suppose, that they're stepping into partnerships with partners, commercial partners that are really genuine and authentic and in there for the right reasons? And I suppose, how do brands then make sure that they're doing it for the right reasons as well? Like, how do you align those values?
It's a little bit like a relationship. It's like going on a date. You need to ensure that you've got the same values and that mm-hmm. you want the same out of life, like, and out of life in terms of out the partnership. So if you take the Man United deal, for example, I really want to understand where they were taking the game in both the men's and the women's. And then I was explaining to them where I see WOW Hydrate in 3 years. And it all just aligned because they're fan first and we're customer first. So I thought, whatever we're going to do, if we always put the fans first and we always put the customer first, they've got to meet in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my advice would be to a brand is don't get into the pinkwashing thing. So don't just do it because at the moment it's, you know, the poster thing to do is be part of women's football. You need to ensure that the football players genuinely like your product.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking last week about go see some grassroots women's teams. Go speak to them. See what they're looking for. You know, they're playing the game, they're not getting paid, they're not in the WSL or the Championship. Like, what is it about the game that they love and what they're looking for? Is it a good healthy drink? Is it that they're looking for, you know, certain recovery or a certain football boot? And see if your brand can align and what your product is with them. Then go mm-hmm. to the, you know, the Championship or the WSL club and say, look, I feel like there's a gap in the market here for the footballers. Can we be part of this together? Brand partnerships and just talking about the whole kind of female thing. We were talking last week at the event as well. I'm really interested to see how the F1 Charlotte Tilbury partnership falls out.
Very different.
Because F1 are not advocates, controversial, of, you know, female drivers. And they've picked a makeup brand, which is a trailblazer. It's number one and everything. I'm really interested to see how they authentically make that work after the big PR kind of circus around it. So I think it's going to be a really interesting one to see.
Perhaps after the Euros and the World Cup, now correct me if I'm wrong, but it didn't feel, maybe we expected too much, but a boom of commercial interest, maybe not as much as some people will have expected.
Yep.
Is that fair to say, or do you think we were expecting too much too quick?
To be really transparent from a brand perspective, it's really hard to get commercial ROI and eyes from an international scale, because we tend to find that people resonate with individual players rather than the whole team. So when you activate a whole team, it's really difficult to get the most out of it from a brand perspective. So it's sometimes difficult to see. And where it happens, you know, every couple of years, every 4 years, you know, Euros, World Cup, etc., it's then a bit feast and famine with the eyes from the consumer. So it's sometimes quite hard to justify unless you're a giant. So you're like a Barclays, or, you know, you're another brand. So we tend to endorse individual players, like we've done at Ella Toon over the Euros, and we got loads back from that. So I'd rather support an individual footballer going to an international, you know, game and playing for the international, you know, national team than I would the whole England team from a brand perspective.
Why do you think there's sort of not more individual endorsements? Because you sort of look at some of the really high profile players. I mean, you've got the Mary Earps, and she's doing absolutely amazing. You know, you turn on the TV, she's there. She's in every kind of like women's health magazine. You know, Vogue and things will be coming calling. I mean, we're already calling for we're calling her Sazzy Weegs.
We are not. Wow. Chloe is calling Serena Wiegman.
What's your thoughts on that nickname? It will be trending soon, I'm assuming.
It won't.
I'm not a fan.
Thank you.
I've just got to be honest there.
She
I'm
can
not
stay.
A fan. Yeah. I'm not a fan.
If someone with as much business acumen as you says it's not a goer, I'm going to take it.
Cheers. That's what I said, it wasn't a goer. But
and I think it's going to become a fad that can end up being bad PR.
Yeah, Chloe, what are you doing?
Producer Charlie, can you scrap the hashtag on the previous pod? it's not going anywhere. Going back to the individual endorsements question, yeah, sort of like Mary Earps, you know, that Leah Williamson, they're doing really well for Leah Williamson's playing piano in the Royal Harmonic Orchestra, for God's sake. But then there are some players that you think are really, really high profile. I mean,
or
someone
have
like
great stories.
Have great stories and backstories, but you don't see as much of their presence in magazines, on TV, things like that. Do you think it's a case of, you know, brands not being that interested, or actually the access to players is quite limited? Or
I think it's maybe the access to players. I think it's really limited. And I think, you know, actually they're athletes. And I think just because they're women, we're expecting to see them in the fashion magazines. But, you know, you don't expect to see a male player in Vogue all the time, because he's got a training schedule, the same training schedule the women's got. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've got to train, they've got to sleep, they've got to look after themselves, and they've got to keep, you know, excuse the pun, heads in the game. So you don't want them to be too off pitch, because you know what can happen with that as well. But that's why I really wanted to, as well, I just wanted to endorse the West Ham whole women's team, to give them all the opportunities. You haven't just got the star striker. Mm-hmm. Maybe the reserve on the bench needs a support also. So I would just really encourage to support all of them. And I don't think we should put too much pressure on them all. We're doing commercial deals outside the game. They've got so much going on. There's so much pressure now to perform on the pitch where all this investment is going into it. Let's authentically see what works for them.
But do you think there's a pressure maybe for players who have that kind of platform to engage with commercial deals? Because obviously the longevity of contracts, you know, they don't get paid, you know, the same as men's, that you're not just putting these things away in a pension pot on a savings scheme. It's sort of, you know, the better played players in the WSL might be on maybe 50, 60, 70K, but that's not going to be enough to kind of see you out. And those punditry jobs, things like that, they're far and few between. So do you think players are kind of, oh God, I need to get a big deal so I can kind of like boost my revenue?
Do you know what I think the opportunity is though for players with the WSL, the Championship and women's football getting huge? What about being CEO of the football club, you know, behind the commercial department, you know, the department like I sit in? I think there's going to be so many opportunities for them, because their knowledge and their skill set is going to be, you know, unmatched. And I think that the generation currently that are playing, they need to be the ones that are behind the scenes, you know, when they retire, the ones that are in the commercial departments, the ones that are helping broker the deals, the ones that are sitting, you know, in the boardrooms to help carry on shaping the game in the way that it's been started. So I think their opportunities are there. It doesn't have to be the commercial sense that we think of it. So, you know, getting sponsored by Adidas or something, they're the opportunities there to go be the marketing director at, you know, Crystal Palace or something, or, you know, another football club, or in the women's league. And I think, you know, Nikki, who spoke so passionately last week, obviously the company that she's CEO for is changing names, but she talks a lot about that side of it as well, of her Nike background. And that's why I can't wait to see what she's going to do.
It's so true. I think when you look at even the likes of Enya Luko, Carly Telford at Chelsea, Kaz Kani doing the, you know, the big review, like all those former players have added so much value to the kind of commercial and sort of governance space. Yeah.
They understand it, right? Better than what I could ever.
Yeah. I think the other thing that we value a lot in the women's game is players' ability and openness to be open about their views and their values, and they're not afraid to speak up on things and to use their platforms. Is that an asset for commercial partnerships? Is that something they look at and say, we've got someone who's really willing to speak up, or is that a benefit?
Definitely a benefit, because it helps you think of then their trailblazing idea of how you can then expand a partnership. And also you want honesty. you know, if they're saying actually that wouldn't resonate well, the fans wouldn't like that, or actually as players, that's not what we like, you haven't got a long-standing partnership there. And then all of a sudden you invested all this money and you're not going to get the long-term, you know, investment out of it. So I think honesty and, you know, I mean, me and Man United have the most honest relationship. When we have internal workshops, we spend 3-4 days picking apart the whole season. What do we think of this? What do we think of that? And honesty is something that they really advocate us to be like. So I'd welcome that with open arms.
I used to work in digital marketing for a long time. So I've had the job of trying to make partnerships that have come into an organisation I'm working with work for us. And it's, yeah. So it's something I quite enjoy seeing when a player will team up with the brand, and you can see the ones that really work and have really put thought into how do we make this partnership make sense for the players, and then you see the ones that just really don't. And there was a recent one that's just gone out, I think it's Estee Lauder with Pernilla Harder and Magda Eriksson, yeah. And seeing them make it work for them, so that it, like, that must do wonders for a brand when you can kind of see the parallels of how your two values or your kind of, I guess, objectives can align.
And the more that the football club or the sporting club that you're partnering with like your strategy, they're going to push it more. So you can have a contract that has all these rights they legally have to, you know, abide by. But if they're really passionate about your brands and they love, you know, what the campaign you put together, they'll push that further and the players will push it further. We recently had one of our water coolers pulled out on a pitch because the players just loved the drink at a Man United game just because they loved it. And that's not part of our rights, so to speak. So, you know, I think things like that end up happening when you're all part of it is like one family together.
Authenticity. That's the word we're going to keep going.
Nice bit of added value there. Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned there that you sort of had, you know, a few meetings sort of across, you know, a number of days with Man United. Do the strategies look completely different across the sort of men, how you activate your partnership across the men's side of things and the women's side? And how important is it to sort of see that brands are either collectively, you know, going across men's and women's, or alternately, and even better, I suppose, in some cases, just going for the women's partnership and sort of sacking off if it doesn't work for the men?
So we have like four main pillars of what we want to achieve out the season and they want to achieve out the season. And we never talk about the men's and women's as one. I'm so passionate about it because what I'd want to activate in the men's space wouldn't work and vice versa. And I hate the fact that the game is treated as one because it's not. Okay, it's football, it's the same sport. What the women's game can offer you and what the men's game can offer you are two different things. And I think the quicker we separate that, the better it's going to be for everybody in every sense, for the fans, for commercial deals, for the players, you know, for the clubs. And so when we sit in those 4 days, we decide them four kind of top line, top tier pillars. And then we say, okay, this is how we're going to activate it during the season for this team, and we treat it all completely different. Sometimes there is the odd thing that you can activate across both spaces, like a mascot or something like that. But 9 times out of 10, it's very, very, very different in terms of what we want to do, because how you engage with women's fans, for example, and men's fans are completely different.
But with the exception of Chelsea, the WSL top six almost exactly matches the Premier League's top six now. Is that a case of clubs just haven't really, or maybe are going the easy route and just doing it all together and lumping it all in together? Or is there an element of sustainability about separating them? Or are we just like not there yet in the journey of separating how we push the two teams?
I do believe that certain sponsors and probably in certain clubs have probably just said we're sponsoring both and it's activating across both spaces. And it just so happens it's translated like that in the results. For the women's game to be sustainable and to stand alone, like Nikki spoke about, the talk was it last week, brands and clubs have to treat it separate, because you can't allocate the right time and activate the right things if you don't. It's like having two ambassadors, two footballers, and, you know, and saying we're going to do the same thing with them, but one's a midfielder and one's a goalkeeper. It just wouldn't authentically work because it's two different missions with two different, you know, two different opportunities. So I do believe brands at the moment are still doing that. I really do. And I think it's disappointing, but I think the club have got to lead that, because brands don't know how to activate that space successfully at the moment. I've got a bit of extra knowledge, so Wow Hydrate has helped there. But I think a lot of brands wouldn't know what to do. And the clubs do know what to do. They know what their women's team needs. They know what the women's space is. So the clubs have got to be the leaders in that. And Man United have absolutely been. And obviously West Ham have been. Karen was really, really wanted to have a sponsor that just sponsored the women's team.
Love that.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra.
and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, I just want to touch a little bit briefly on Nuko. You obviously mentioned Nikki Doucette. She was, we were fortunate enough to have her at the event in the International Women's Day Summit at Man United. And yeah, she's sort of done this amazing interview with Polly Bancroft, who's the current head of the Man United Women's Department. So yeah, kind of just wanted to get your thoughts really on Nuko, sort of what you've heard so far. And yeah, what you think your priorities are going to be for sort of Nuko stepping into this very sort of... unknown land, I think, of where it's going to go this season.
I'm really excited for Nuko to start talking about the WSL and Championship separate to the men's, and to have their own sponsorship, to have their own leagues that are treated completely separate. And the women's, like their spearheads and the heads of the women's games will have to speak to Nuko when they're talking about the women's game, and then they'll have to talk to the separate Premier League when they're talking about the men's game. So I think that will naturally start separating everyone's conversations, and that will then filter down through the club and through brands. I also love what Nikki was saying last week about she really wants people to start saying that's an amazing athlete about the women's footballers. Not just that's a women's footballer, she's good. Talking about them as athletes and start talking about the women's game like the men's game is spoken about. That was a great match. Just it was a great match. Not, oh my God, I can't believe that was a good match.
That was a great example of women's football. Yeah,
Just and you know, as a journalist as well, like wanting to move that kind of language spoken. And that's what I found so exciting about what she was saying. Also talking about, you know, the health professionals and nutritionists, they always talk about, oh, we've put a diet together for a male footballer. And a lot of the female footballers are following male footballers' nutritional plans because they're just not available. And having people as specialists for the women's game, I just think, like, how exciting. She's got a Nike background as well. She's going to be very brand-driven. She's going to be all about the commercial deals. And let's be honest, the game needs money. So I think she's going to really bring the spotlight in for that as well.
With your both businesswoman and vice president hats on, what do you think is Nuko's first priority? What should it be?
Just an easy one.
Yeah.
Wow, what a big question. I think it's spending time with every single club and understanding their challenges. I know it sounds a bit cliche, but until you actually know what the clubs need, it's very easy to sit at a hierarchy and think what you think you know about the game. I think it's spending time with every single club, every single player, getting all their feedback and then deciding how they can basically tackle it. I think without their knowledge and without going to speak to them, you're not going to get their buy-in.
Because it's going to be completely different. Even, never mind, you know, top and the Championship and the WSL, but even the top and bottom of the WSL, they're all going to be really different.
It's even things like some WSL clubs have great grounds, some don't. Mm. It's even, you know, Nikki spoke about she wants to increase attendance. But it's easy to say in that. But what about if you're a WSL or a Championship club that can only hold 1,000 people?
Or Everton with no money.
well, I think bold takes here.
Yeah, well, that's what. So I think that the knowledge and going to speaking to all the clubs is what would be my first thing if I was Nikki. She's got an amazing, massive task, isn't she? Wow.
My God, can you imagine? what would you do if you stepped into the head of Nuko role? What would your first 3 months look like?
Gee, I thought my question was big.
That's bold. Yeah. I was like, let's go bold.
Put her under pressure here.
I know. I think the first month has to be, this sounds a bit crazy because obviously saying I'll step into head of, I'll actually sit back.
Okay.
And try and learn everything that's currently happening. Because everything's happened for a reason. It's come this far, right? So that'd be the first month, listening. not saying too much, because I also think that when you become into that role, people just want to impress you. So they end up just taking on your opinion. You don't really get the truth out of people. So it's the first month is the listening one, 100%. The second month is the visiting month.
Okay.
So that's going to speaking to everyone and making sure they're not putting the red carpet out. And I probably wouldn't make it too planned, so you can try and get the best experience, go to a few games, talk to a few fans. Then the third month would be putting it into action.
I love that. Second month is just turning up at their door, just completely unexpected.
Hello. Yep. And just because I do think they'd roll the red carpet out, and every club is trying to pretend that they're doing the best by their female club, and I don't think they are. So I think we'll just turn up and just kind of, you know, training, that sort of thing, and just kind of see what's going on. And then the third month, I'll be putting some serious plans into action.
What was that thing in school when that, like, the person from the education off, they'd just rock up to the school and they'd sit in the back of the classroom?
Oh, women's football Ofsted.
And suddenly all the teachers were like the nicest people you'd ever met.
No one got nobody. Everyone sat there like this.
Yeah. This is the best teacher ever.
Yeah. We love school.
I think that's a really good point. I think, yeah, you want to get that realistic view. And I think it's quite hard actually to get an honest opinion, especially from players and staff who are in those environments, because they are your employer. You're never going to be caught out kind of saying bad things against your own
you need a mole.
Company. Yeah, and you kind of do need to get an honest perspective. Otherwise, things can't change. Like, you can't change what you don't know about.
Send you in.
I think they'd be aware, actually.
Yeah, I think they'd definitely know you.
Yeah, I don't think I'd get away with sneaking
I've
in
also
under,
just
under
said
the bushes.
It on the pod,
yeah,
so great. I think that's ruined the plan.
Good from you.
What do we also think Nuco's going to be called? Because Nikki wouldn't give anything away last week, would she?
I did press her on a new name for Nuco.
I think it's going to be called the AF.
What?
Instead
what?
Of the FA. It's just going to be basically
advocating
the FA with
females.
With a moustache on. Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
The association of football?
No, I just think it's going to be... I hope it's a proper change, but I'm a bit worried that it's just going to be... the FA with the disguise.
The thing
on.
Is, it can't be too bold.
No, it can't.
No.
But it needs to be different.
It's got to demonstrate change in some sort
of really
way.
Does.
I bet it's going to be like a Latin name.
Oh.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. You know, and then you look it up and it means change, but just in Latin, so it sounds a little bit more.
I'm going to Google what that is.
Yeah,
and
let's Google it.
Just the Carpe Diem
English.
League.
what word did you say?
Change.
Change.
In Latin. Oh. What does it mean?
Mutatio. Oh my God, it's a moustache. I told you. The FA with a moustache on. Mutatio.
That's exactly what women's football needs. A league called moustaches.
Yeah, okay. Let's forget that. Sorry about that. Imagine if that is that now. You'll
oh my
be like,
God.
There's
nailed
a league.
It. Heard it here first.
Blame you.
We need another word.
Forget hashtag
Latin.
Sassy Weeks. Hashtag moustache.
The Victorian league.
Right. Is there anything that you've seen with Nuco? Anything that sort of is yet to be identified? Anything that you feel actually this is what we need to be focusing on? It's hard because we don't have a lot of information about what Nuco are focusing on. It's been very sort of closed.
Very cloak and dagger.
Closed camp, yeah.
Smoke and mirrors.
I know. I mean, I hope they've got some grand plans because we're all waiting, and I think that there's a lot of pressure there.
And it's nearly April.
And also, I've been to a couple of events and he's actually speaks extremely well, so I can't wait to see. I'm actually really excited to see the merch side of football.
Okay.
So, you know, like the Mary Earps kind of trailblazer thing with the shirt and everything, but like... how can we make people buy into it in that way? You know, the tracksuits. Obviously, with Nikki having a night background as well, I'm really interested to see how we're, obviously, me loving fashion.
NWSL vibes.
NWSL vibes,
those shirts.
Yeah.
And this is women celebrate the fact that we can dress a bit cooler than just being in a plain tracksuit and stuff going to
all
a match
day.
And that. So I can't
Stella
wait to see.
McCartney kit.
Yeah. So I can't wait to see how we can have that fun element of it and seeing what we can do there. And I think, yeah, again, like I said, with Nikki's night background, I'd love to see that. Get us bought into it.
Yeah, because there's been a lot of conversation around like fans and growing the game and match day experience. And you know, some people look at the NWSL and be like, I don't want that level of fandom. But I went to an Angel City game and you're right, the merch. Like you can literally buy any type of thing and it's merch. Like you could go in and get like a whole new outfit and decorate your flat just in like Angel City merch. So they've tapped into something there. But in terms of the fan experience, and I know some of the things Nikki has said have been taken and blown up a little bit, like the Glastonbury comment. What do you think about that kind of match day experience and what it should look like?
I would love to see it like that. I mean, when we've activated at women's games, specifically at Man United, I've loved being able to take the mascot and everything because it is a little bit more family vibed. But I don't think the game should be pigeonholed to family fied either.
Amen.
What I love is when you go to American sports games, so much happens off the pitch or the field or the arena. Not just theirs, so you go there for the whole experience. It is like, a bit like a concert. I don't want to get quoted like Nikki has with kind of Glastonbury, but I loved going to a basketball game because so much happens outside of the court.
Mm-hmm.
And like, why not with women's football where we haven't got, you know, maybe the darker side of the men's football game that some of the fans carry. Why don't we just really make it a fun place to go and have all that experience around it? You know, have, you know, buying all the merch, buying into the club, having things to do, having, you know, not just the traditional burger stand, but having, you know, other things going on and being able to see something, not just the game.
I think, and but I think the main thing is reassuring fans that that isn't going to impact what you see on the pitch. And I think some, you know, purist fans, understandably, who just want to go and watch football, and that's fine. Mm. So long as the game is still the amazing product that we know and love, it doesn't mean other things can't improve around that experience.
Yeah, look, when Arsenal turned up 45 minutes late for a game, there's 45 minutes keeps worth of missed opportunity to go and do some exciting things in that build-up.
Chelsea had that DJ going for the extra half hour, do you remember?
And obviously, I know the Super Bowl is way too far, but that they can't, you know, as and when the game gets bigger and you know,
you want Usher at halftime, do you?
I want Usher. Okay. And we are, and there is a, it is a more family-fied audience. We can't move away from that. And I do think that's something to be celebrated. Is there certain things that happen pre or post the match where you then stay? And what I'm thinking about from a commercial point of view, that dwell time you've then got in the stadium, there's more time to for the company, you know, the clubs make money and you know, sell drinks and food and keep you in that stadium even post the game. Then that revenue can put back into the game as well.
I think it's a really interesting one, because I think that kind of collaboration or that getting to that level of kind of having that kind of fan experience does depend a little bit on the sort of the main club at the moment. Like we're talking about sort of like the fashion football fusion, those kind of amazing kits that we see in the NWSL. I think to a large extent they're able to do that, I suppose, because they're more independent entities. Whereas I suppose if, you know, Arsenal wanted to do a collab with Stella McCartney, that's all got to go through the main club, like Adidas, that kind of thing. So I think, in a way, I suppose some of the main club partnerships almost might be limiting the sort of scope of what those individual women's clubs can be doing, would you say?
Yeah, and calling out to all the main clubs here that haven't done what West Ham have done and separated it, separate it, because you're stopping incredible commercial deals and brands not wanting to be part of the game because they don't want to be part of the men's. There's so many opportunities with like makeup brands and clothes brands, not like, you know, just so many categories. Theme parks, holiday companies, where they know they can talk to a different audience for the women's game, which probably are not because they don't want to be part of the men's game.
Mm. And I think it's a weird one, because I can't remember, I think it was at the summit, and I was trying to think about like when this first came about, the kind of just women's only partnerships, and I'm pretty sure it was
Liverpool
and Avon.
And do you know what they did? They brought the wrong kit to the Oval match. It was 2017. They rocked up to the Oval, but they didn't bring the right kit, and they had to wear Yeovil's away kit. And that was when they'd just gotten in the new brand partnership.
God,
oh, wow.
It's good to see that things have moved on and
massively
we're not having
changed.
Arsenal wearing Chelsea socks or anything. So, yeah.
Yeah, wow. That's bad club management, that is.
It was a long time ago.
We've moved on.
We've, apparently.
The big question. You look scared.
You want to say bigger than some of the big
questions? Actually, I don't
think. Bigger?
I think this is actually
I'm excited.
It's a big question, but I feel like the others were harder.
I was going to say, yeah, this is kind of like a...
This is easy.
This is a small one. This is a small fry for you.
Let's go.
Do you think the WSL can become the first billion-dollar league within the next 10 years?
I'm going to say yes, but I don't think it should be a target on the WSL's head because I think it will send us down the wrong route. Because as I said earlier, it's got to be an investment and it's got to be done in the right authentic way, because this is the way we can start and build something forever, 100 years' time, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, all of that, all our next generation could be part of the women's game, not having to go through the trials and tribulations all of us in this room have been for many different reasons related to the game. So I'd love to say yes, because why wouldn't I say yes? Because it's an incredible ambition, but I don't want to put a target on its head and it gets taken down the wrong route.
Good answer. I like that.
Wow. I think that's a perfect place to finish, to be honest. I think we've grilled you enough. You've obviously got, you know, two massive roles to be getting on with. We appreciate you so much for coming down and sort of speaking to us and running through, doing a bit of a deep dive on commercial partnerships and the women's space.
Thank
because
you.
It's, it's an interesting space. It's kind of going in all different directions and clubs are doing various different things. I mean, even the Deloitte Money Report was sort of saying, you know, the variances in, you know, how clubs are sort of generating their revenue, whether it's matchday experiences or commercial partnerships or brands, and everyone's doing something a little bit different, but Man United are smashing it.
And it's finding that balance between protecting the game on the pitch with the need for commercial viability and not kind of damaging what's happening on the pitch. So it's a really great opportunity right now to shape that.
All day.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll have to get you back in like 4 or 5 years' time.
And 10 years' time. Too. We'll be like, is it a billion?
Yeah, is it a billion? And you're both going to come in for your interview in a couple of weeks this week.
Yes, I need to prep, but yeah.
Absolutely. We will be your interns for the day.
So excited. What incredible interns.
Interns. I love that.
Interns. That'll be the first time up front I've ever been interns on a... Yes. Yeah. What would you have us doing? What would the day look like?
Right, so I'd get you to come about 9. Does that kind of work?
That's
9
fine,
o'clock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chloe, you get us into the studio for 9 a.m.
9:30?
Now. It's your fault.
And
9 is
30?
Fine. Yeah. I'll get her in
yeah,
at 9.
Right, yeah, cool.
And we'll do a team meeting. We've got big sofas in the middle of the office. So we'll do a big team meeting and we'll just do very high level, each department from marketing to finance to commercial to sales, where we're at, what's our main focus is this week, what we're, you know, bring everyone, get everyone excited. And then around 10 o'clock, we'd have a
coffee.
Catch-up.
Oh, sorry,
yeah,
catch-up.
Coffee, yeah. Also, breaks, yeah. We'll be in after-cut breaks. We then have a catch-up with Man United to discuss, you know, what's going on for that week, what's the next campaign. That usually lasts about an hour and a half. Then I'd let you toilet, coffee.
We'd have a toilet break, a specified toilet break.
All right, cool. All right, thank you.
You can only go to the toilet in this window.
Right, I won't wear my nappies that day.
No, cool. So we have a really flexible office. Everyone kind of comes and goes. It's loads of fun. We've got like a little creative department. So I'd probably say go sit with the creative department, see what they're creating, sit with the marketing department, let them talk you through everything. Go speak to sales, what's going on in Tesco's, what's going on in Morrison's, any new flavours.
Ooh.
And then
taste test.
Yeah, we'll definitely do.
Afternoon, we've got some new flavors potentially coming out. I'll do a little plug.
Okay.
Potentially a pineapple and electrolyte.
Pineapple's my favorite.
Yes, pineapple and coconut electrolyte.
Oh, it's like something on the beach. What is the pina colada?
Yes. So we'll do a bit of taste testing.
Oh my god.
And then we'll go for an Essex based dinner. I'm not going to plug the restaurant, but you all know where.
This sounds like a really tough day. I'm in.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought so.
Classic.
Well, that sounds like an amazing day.
An episode of The Office or something, like just kind of shaky cameras. I can just imagine following us around.
We're going from doing like commercial deals to tasting to creating. So, yeah.
All right.
Come in.
Producer Finn, producer Charlie, we've been invited in. We're going to be interns for a day at Wow Hydrate. We are going to shock and marvel the entire business with our industry ideas. Yeah.
Marvel, wow.
Yeah.
We could get them on as a partner if you want. We could pull strings.
Yeah, I don't want to hype us up or anything, but this could be a very good or bad day for Well Hydrate.
Yeah, we'll have to hand in our notice here at the front. I'm so sorry.
Right, on that note, we will absolutely take you up on that offer. Thank you again so much for coming in. We really appreciate it. You can absolutely leave us, get back to all of your very, very, very high profile, incredible jobs. We're both back on Tuesday for all the reaction to the final weekend of WSL fixtures before the international break. In the meantime, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter/X. I am at Morgie_89. Rach is at Girls on the Ball, and we are at Upfront_Pod. You can also find us on YouTube at Upfront Pod. See you next week.
Upfront is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.